Your recording has started. Speakers, you may
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on August 18th, 2016. On the call today, we have Paul Mitchell, Cheryl Miller, Lawrence Oluwole-Roberts, Elisa Cooper, Susan Kawaguchi, Marie Petullo, Kevin Audrett, Gabriella Slack, Angie Graves, Andy Abram, Hila Hussein, Tim Chen, Andrew Harris, Barbara Warner, Jinsen Alufie, Philip Corwin, Isabel Rutherford, Steve DeLianco, Alex Deacon, Denise Michelle, Jay Sadowski, Ben Lee, and Chris Wilson. We have apologies from Beth Allegretti. From staff, we have myself, Chantel Dirksen. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you, Chantel. Thanks, everybody, for joining today's call. Fair amount to talk about, per usual. I know there's a sort of development that Phil raised already with regard to the policy calendar and issues regarding new GTLD, next round of new GTLDs. But why don't we go ahead and turn to Steve, and he can dive into what we filed and what we intend to file going forward, and then we can talk about the outstanding issue that Phil has raised. So, Steve, perhaps can I turn to you?
Great. Thank you, Chris. Chantel, thank you for putting up the policy calendar. I circulated it yesterday. I'll start at the top with a recap of the four filings we've done since our last call on August the, I guess it was August the 4th. So over the past 4 weeks, we filed a comment in support of the new procedures in GNSO for electing the chair and vice chair. Susan Arenol and Angie helped with that. Thank you. And Phil Corwin circulated today a council motion along those lines. On 12th of August, we did a comment on the proposed amendment to extend the expiration of the .com registry agreement that extends the registry agreement to 2024 to coincide with the expiration of the root zone maintainer agreement that VeriSign has negotiated with ICANN. We had a lively discussion on that from Denise, Chris Wilson, Heba, Marilyn, Phil Corwin. I appreciate all of your help in coming up with our comments, which we submitted on time. On the 11th of August, we commented on the new bylaws for post-transition IANA, or PTI. Thanks to Barbara, Heba, and Jay for that. And then Barbara, Heba, and Jay also did a nice set of comments on the draft governance documents for PTI, which we filed on August the 7th. So thanks to all of you volunteers for coming through on that. Let me turn to the current set of comments. You can scroll down to the bottom here. You can see there's quite a few. Got a handful of things we're going to have to take care of. The first one is relatively easy because Andy Abrams was good enough to draft a BC comment on the release of geo names at the second level in three new GTLDs, SoftBank, .art, and .caravan. Unfortunately, ICANN mixed the batch here because a couple of those are brands and .art is a generic TLD. Nonetheless, Andy came up with a comment that combined our concerns about generic versus brand, and that's attachment number one. That's due the 31st of August. It's before our next call, but well within our 14-day review period. Are there any comments or questions from BC members with respect to this first public comment? The draft is number one. Andy, thanks again for doing that. Number two, we have guidelines for CCTLDs on their second string similarity review process. Now, this is the CCNSO, it isn't the GNSO, but I'm aware that while we're in the GNSO, there are BC members that probably have a good number of properties that exist at the second level in CCTLDs. So this also closes the 31st of August, but since it's in the CC space, I guess it's a questionable priority for us. Are there BC members who feel strongly about string similarity guidelines at the second level now, string similarity review process? It's not second level. I meant to say that it's their second review. If there's nobody that's concerned about it, we'll skip over this one. Any concerns about number two? Thanks, everyone. Let me move to number three. And this one, I am positive that BC members will be concerned because when the GAC itself came up with its advice way back in 2011, the advice on the new GTLD program, they insisted that there be an independent review done by an outside party of the trademark clearinghouse, and it needed to be done 1 year after the 75th new GTLD was launched. and there's no clarity about whether launch meant delegation of contracts or actually lighting it up. But nonetheless, has made the arrangements to do what the GAC asked them to do. These comments close 3 September, and I have a link there to the actual page where the report is in there. There's quite a bit of material here. They are in the middle of publishing and delivering revised results to the GAC, but right now we have an opportunity to review the draft report under public comment. And since a number of BC members are big users of Trademark Clearinghouse services with respect to new GTLDs, and we're also considering recommending adoption for legacy GTLDs, this would be a great time to weigh in, try to reestablish great relationships with the GAC, and align ourselves with a rigorous Trademark Clearinghouse. So I see Phil's hand up, but I am going to ask for a volunteer or two to help draft BC comments on number 3. Phil Corwin, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Dave, and Phil, for the record. First of all, I'm willing to volunteer. I don't think it would be appropriate for me to take the lead on this because of my role as co-chair of the working group that's going to be reviewing the Trademark Clearinghouse. But I have read the report. I have written something publicly about the report, and I'd be happy to be a contributor to the BC comment. I also wanted to make clear to BC members that in regard to the RPM review working group, which both Jay Scott and I are co-chairs of, while we are taking this report into consideration for our work, it's not going to determine what we do on Trademark Clearinghouse, any recommendations we might make for change. In fact, right now, even as we continue to complete our review of the post-delegation dispute resolution process, which is the first item we're reviewing, we already have a sub-team looking at gathering all the data on Trademark Clearinghouse. That sub-team has engaged in a phone conversation with the analysis group that prepared this report. So it's going to be something we take into consideration, but it's not going to be determinative of where we come out. So happy to contribute to the comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Andy Abrams?
I'm happy to work on this, and I can work with you, Phil, on this draft.
Thanks, Andy. And when Phil Corwin mentioned analysis group, the analysis group for the vendors who contributed to this. Another was a scholar at the Wharton School and another at Stanford University Law School. Any other volunteers on the BC? Chris Wilson is noting he will flag it for Cecilia to help on it as well. Thank you, Chris. So Andy, Phil, and Cecilia. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll look to circulate something in about a week to give our members 2 weeks to review. The fourth one up here, I'm going to turn to Angie Graves to discuss a little bit more. This is the GTLD Marketplace Health Index. And Angie is on the panel and has circulated an email that I pushed out to yesterday. It's the second attachment to the policy calendar. And that's where Angie laid out some thoughts for the BC's draft comment. So this would be an appropriate time for BC members to ask or make requests of Angie to polish that draft for submission. Angie, why don't you walk us through that? Give us some of the highlights of what you've got in your draft BC comment.
Sure. Thank you, Steve. This is Angie Graves, and I am leading the drafting on this comment, and I serve on the advisory committee for GTLD Marketplace Health on behalf of the BC. Before addressing the report, I would like to note that the advisory committee for this report is still accepting new members. For information on joining, you can see Steve's email from August 1 with the subject line, Positions in Need of Volunteers, or you can sign up at this page that I've just posted into the chat. You're also welcome to contact me if you have questions. So I would like to take just a couple of minutes to share with you some perspectives on this report and context for it, and also to pinpoint some specific opportunities for you to contribute. First, the context. This report is The report that was published by ICANN on July 19th is called the GTLD Marketplace Health Index Beta. It's intended to be published at regular intervals going forward, but it is just being created now. So the July 19 report is the first attempt at presenting the correct metrics and measures. It originated from ICANN's KPI dashboard to further the goal of supporting the evolution of the GTLD marketplace to be robust and stable and trusted. So the index is intended to analyze the overall health and diversity of the global GTLD marketplace. If you've not yet seen it, it provides a mostly visual performance overview of the registrar registrant landscape, specific to issues of robustness, stability, and trust. So moving on to why this report is important, the health of the marketplace, I think we all can agree, is imperative to ICANN and to the BC on many levels. The report gives visibility for the first time and in one place of the registry, registrar, registrant ecosystem. And just to explain the significance of this and why it's critical to have a view of the performance of the marketplaces, it maps back to ICANN's mission. It maps back to two of the 3 points of BC's mission. The marketplace's performance is essential fuel for the engine that makes ICANN go. So having visibility into performance metrics and being able to gauge, some gauge to inform decisions made here at the BC and within our own companies can be of great value for informing strategic decision making. I think its value and significance will increase over time as its history builds, but only if we're using the right metrics. And it's imperative to get these metrics right. And now is the time that we can. So if anybody can look at it, see if we're missing something pertinent, are we using all the right measures? This report is intended to be published regularly, indefinitely, as a status report on the GTLD market. And one issue, as I see it so far, there have been no eyes from any statisticians or economists on this. So there may be resources inside one of your companies who could review it, maybe, and increase the view of this report for all of us. Lastly, if you'd like to contribute and are short on time, I've just sent a link to the report itself as well. There are two ways you can contribute if you're short on time. One, just review the BC comments draft that was sent an email by me on August 9 with the subject line GTLD Marketplace Index Health Beta. And secondly, you could read the last two pages beta report itself. You'll find a list of other things there that could be measured, and you're welcome to send me an email with any of your picks from the list and the reasoning behind including them. I just pasted that into the chat. So comments close in 19 days on September 6th. I'd like to thank you in advance for contributing to this important new tool for us all. Denise Michel is already working on this comment as well. And as I close, Denise, I don't know if I have any remaining time, but if you'd like to add anything, I'm finished. Thank you.
Thanks, Angie. No, I just wanted to indicate that I would volunteer to help complete the draft with you, as you and I have discussed surfacing some of the additional issues, or I guess emphasizing some of the issues that the staff had ignored in the BC's previous comments. And thanks so much for this great draft. I look forward to working with you on this.
Thanks, me too. Thank you, Steve.
Angie, thanks again for a great walkthrough on the report. And I wanted to note that there are a number of measures in the health index that can be used later on or even soon to justify another round. For instance, if there are indicators about diversity and geographic diversity that are low, that would feed the fire to say, wow, we need another round to increase the geographic diversity of the registry operators. If some of the health index indicators reveal that it's always better to have more in terms of robust competition. So more GTLDs are always better than less. That could be used as another justification to rush into another round or an open round of new GTLDs. Statistics can be used in any way that the person making an argument chooses to use them, and we can't necessarily eliminate statistics that don't speak to the BC view. But let's please understand that there needs to be a balanced basket of KPIs here, and we also want to try to avoid the community drawing conclusions from the metrics that might justify what they otherwise want to do. And that's going to be a challenge that plays into the item coming up on the additional new GTLD rounds. So, Angie, thank you, and thank you, Denise, for contributing. Are there any other questions or volunteers that want to look at that over the next 2 weeks? Thanks. Let me go to number five. There's only two more here, and these are in September. They're not as urgent as the rest of ours. There's a new agreement proposed between ICANN and post-transition IANA, or PTI, and that's an agreement that was requested by the community proposal, whereby PTI, the employees in PTI, then would perform the IANA naming functions at the root level. I have not reviewed this one yet. I attached it. It closes September the 9th. This is root level work. So for BC members who were particularly active during the CWG process on the IANA proposal, this should be an easy opportunity to check whether those have been implemented. Let me turn to Barbara.
Hi, Steve and everyone. I tried to take a look at it yesterday. I went through it very quickly. And there are two parts of it. One part, or a couple different aspects of it. The aspects that seem purely administrative in terms of criteria for the manager and how to staff the organization and the separation of policy and technical functions and so forth seems to me very, very straightforward and not at all. Sort of consistent with the work that was done in developing the ICG proposal. However, I personally lack the sort of very technical knowledge to evaluate what appears in the annex, which is basically detailing the service level agreements. So perhaps there are others here on the call who do possess that technical expertise, and they may just want to home in on that annex.
Barbara, thank you. I would love to take advantage of the work you've already done here and ask you to perhaps draft your thoughts with respect to the business and services elements. And I'll take note that the service level agreement with regard to the technical annex is something we'll need to find another volunteer to help with. Would you be willing to do that part, Barbara?
I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. It would be, as I said, my initial reading of it didn't seem to be problematic, so I think it would sort of the administrative elements of it would be kind of a higher level endorsement that it seems consistent
right.
with blah, blah, blah. If people are okay with that, I'll try and develop some text around that, but I really don't feel comfortable at all about the service level agreements.
Got it.
This is Angie.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Angie.
Yeah, as a network architect and designer for corporations for 20 years, I don't know if this would scale to this level, but I'm more than happy to take a look.
Great.
Angie, thank you. You guys would make a great team, and as usual, I'll assist at all the formatting and distribution for certain. The previous comments that BC submitted did emphasize something Barbara mentioned a moment ago, the separation of policy from the operational execution of publishing the root in the IANA function. So let's emphasize that BC comments previously pointed that out, and I think that, Barbara, you indicated there is an appropriate separation in the agreement.
Right,
that
yes. That sort of was apparent even to me.
Okay. Angie, thank you for helping out on that, too. Go ahead.
Steve, I'd be grateful if you could just re-forward those comments to me. I'm sure I have them, but they're buried.
I will do that. I'll send it to you and Angie.
Thanks so much.
Thank you both. All right, the final one that's on the queue, it closes the 13th of September, and it's for the proposed renewal of a sponsored TLD, .tel, as in .telephone. That registry agreement is up for renewal, and the renewal is a mixed bag. It picks up some elements from the new GTLD registry agreement, or RYA, but it also inherits the sponsored TLD provisions from 2006. And I wanted to note for all of you that .tel would not be required under this proposal to adopt the minimum rights protection mechanisms that are in Spec 7. So ICANN did not bring over the full GTLD registry agreement. And I don't know to what extent BC members have had issues with respect to cyber squatting or concerns in the .tel TLD. But I do know as a matter of principle, the BC has just recently filed comments on .com where we call for level playing field, consistency across all the registry agreements. This particular renewal is in no way consistent with the new GTLDs, and in fact does inherit a lot of the sponsored TLD aspects. Now, sponsored TLDs don't exist in the new vocabulary. They're called community TLDs from now on, and those communities can have special provisions and rules about who registrants need to be, whether registrants have to be part of a certain class. So it is appropriate to carry a lot of that over. I don't mean to imply that .tel should strip away all of their community-based sponsorship aspects. So I'll take a cue with regard to BC members that are interested in diving into this, to even just to evaluate whether it's of sufficient interest to the BC to prepare a comment. Any of you have experience, your companies have experience with .tel domain names? Okay, seeing none, this comment is not going to be on the queue for the BC. I'll bring it up again on our next call since they don't close until the 13th of September. All right, with that concludes the walkthrough of the public comment set. There are still several open items that are listed in the policy calendar on page 2, the first of which I'm going to turn to Phil Corwin to talk a little bit more about, is the letter from August the 5th by ICANN Chairman Steve Crocker. He sends this letter to the GNSO Council Chair, James Bledel, and it's a letter asking about the timelines of these reviews we're doing for the new GTLD applications, and he asks the question about whether some aspect of the GTLD applications could be opened for future new GTLDs before reviews are complete. And I've pasted into the policy calendar Phil Corwin's summary of that question. There's no public comment on this topic yet, but it's going to be a hot topic at the council, and it would be great to devote 5 to 10 minutes of BC members' time to walk through that. Phil Corwin, would you go first, please?
Yes, thanks, Steve. Phil, for the record. Yeah. See, there's council members got a copy of this letter from Council Chair James Waddell. The letter was sent on August 5th, and the operative question in the letter I've sent this morning, the entire letter to BC members, it says, for example, assuming all other review activities are completed. And that's an important caveat there. I think we have to specify what those are. It would be helpful to know whether the GNSO believes the entirety of the current subsequent procedures PDP must be completed prior to advancing the new application process under the current policy recommendations. So basically what Crocker's asking and what has now surfaced in discussions on the email list for the subsequent procedures working group, which I'm participating in primarily because the RPM review working group, which I co-chair along with Jay Scott, has to coordinate with that group, is whether essentially there can be a work stream 1 and 2 approach for that PDP where they prioritize things that must be resolved prior to a new round of applications and then complete it. I would note that Crocker's letter doesn't reference the other very important working group for the next round, which is the RPM review. I know it's important to us and the IPC among others. And while Jay Scott's not on the call this morning, I can tell you my personal view is that we can't do a work stream one or two approach. Everything we're doing on reviewing the new TLD RPMs is important. I don't know how we prioritize them, and our procedure that we've set for going forward is we've started with the PDDRP. We're going to begin discussion of the Trademark Clearinghouse in September, and then later in the year, the two things that gives rights to, the Sunrise registrations and the claims notice, and then we're going to finish up next spring with a review of uniform rapid suspension, which will set the stage for UDRP. But before we get to UDRP in 2018, early 2018, and I don't think our next round of applications has to wait on UDRP review, we're going to be preparing a initial draft report and recommendations in the second half of next year, which we're, if we're on target, we'll take community comments and submit a final report and recommendations in late 2017. So that's the situation. My view is that the next round shouldn't proceed until the subsequent procedures working group has completed its work, the RPM review, and the competition choice and trust review under the AOC, which, and I think that's a previous BC position set in writing. But because it's coming up for council discussion on September 1, and because it's being discussed in the email list of the subsequent procedures working group, I haven't said too much there yet, but I want to get a sense of the consensus within the BC on this question of basically, can there be a work stream one or and two, and should there be one, to accelerate the opening of the window for the next round of applications. That assumes there will be a next round, and that's a core issue that the subsequent procedure working group hasn't reached a position on yet. So I'll stop talking and open it up there.
Bill, thanks. First question for you. Do you believe council will have a motion at your September 1 meeting or just a discussion on this topic?
I think we're far away from a motion, and you know, I see Susan raised her hand. I think we're just starting a discussion on September 1. I haven't seen any motion, and we're approaching the deadline for motion submission. But I see Susan's hand up. Why don't we hear from her?
Yeah, and thank you, Phil, for you know, sending this on to the BC and starting the discussion, because I think it's a really important one. You know, we haven't seen a motion, and I would be, you know, depending on what the BC decides, inclined to really make sure that the GNSO is very thoughtful and take all of this into consideration. And so would, even if there was a motion, I think, you know, it would be hard put to, you know, get anything passed, you know, and voted on in the next, this meeting or the following meeting. I really think this is a discussion for India, but, you know, there's a lot of issues we should really think about. You know, maybe there's a possibility of creating two work streams, but, you know, that to me, that would have to, we'd really have to look into this and decide, you know, sort of look at each of the issues and decide, no, this could, you know, this could be done as a new round was launched. The other issue is we have a lot of outstanding things that do not pertain just to the new GTLD launches and how that went. You know, like FICCU is, that has been sitting around for, 5 years or 3 or 4 years now, and it's probably not going to be fully implemented till 2019 because VeriSign's not going to do what they're supposed to do until 2017, and then the registrars have 18 months minimum to transition, and that is if they do it, and we've seen how registrars act sometimes. So, you know, are there issues? I'm not advocating one way or the other on the thick who is, but that is just an example that, you know, should we look at other issues in the community and
and use this as leverage to speed up things that we've been waiting for and that we think are very important.
Thank you, Susan. I will send around a summary of previous BC comments on the subject of reviews prior to the next round. You can trust me when I say that the BC was firm in a position the review should be done and the revisions to the guidebook made prior to the next round. And that was the same notion of trying to use that leverage. And you all recall that we did some motions on this in Dublin and definitely encountered a lot of resistance. So the BC has a strong position on the completion of reviews and the implementation of reforms and improvements that are indicated by the reviews. You can say that with confidence. With regard to a Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 split, I think we have to wait, as you say, for staff to describe what would be part of a Workstream 1 before we rule it out immediately. The BC has gone on record as suggesting that the DOT brands, because many BC members either prior applied for DOT brands or would like to in the next round, that we wanted to bifurcate or split the process. I don't have any idea if that's what they have in mind for Workstream 1 or 2. But remember this, that if the BC and IPC talk about the importance of DOT brands, well, that creates leverage about the full round. So those who want the next round of generic and open GTLDs will seize upon the desire to do DOT brands and suggest that that should drive everything forward. So leverage cuts both ways. Let me also mention one other item is that years ago in the Kenya meeting, there was a proposal for expressions of interest. Maybe that's what they have in mind for Workstream 1. I don't know, but let's be open-minded about what they propose at Workstream 1. And I would encourage you and Phil to ask staff in their report to you on September 1st, ask them to describe and tee up for discussion what they have in mind for a Workstream 1 and 2, and therefore we can react appropriately. In the queue, Lawrence, are you looking to get in the queue? I don't see your hand raised, but go ahead if you wish. Not hearing that. Any other people in the queue?
Steve, this is Chris. I just posed a quick question in the chat, and I know Phil referenced, you know, this sort of a seems like a choreographed effort underway. As evidenced by Steve's letter, and I'm just curious whether or not we think this is whether this effort was born before the .dot web auction or after the .dot web auction, considering the amount of money that was raised. And I'm just curious if others had thoughts on that, maybe Phil or others. And I see Denise's hand, so I didn't mean to jump the queue, Denise, but I'm just curious about folks if they
that dynamic. Hey, Chris, before I turn to Denise, you do keep in mind, though, there was tremendous pressure for subsequent rounds long before the auction. And right up to the last minute in July, that auction could have gone private. There could have been a simple payout, and the money would never have gone to ICANN to begin with. So I don't believe we have to look at this auction as the justification for the urgency. ICANN has been led by Brett Fawcett and a few others, is anxious for the next round to open up. Go ahead, Denise.
Thanks, Steve. I have a comment on both process and substance. In terms of process, I'd like to suggest, really it's more of a request, that our representatives on the GNSO Council have as a goal for the September 1 Council meeting a clarity and agreement on the process that will be used to formally respond to Steve's letter. I think it's very important that the constituencies and stakeholder groups are appropriately involved in providing input and helping to shape the GNSO's response to Steve's letter. So I'd like to see clarity on what the process and timing will be in terms of how the GNSO responds to this letter. And then second, on substance, for well over a year now, there has been in the public domain a list of what staff previously viewed as critical path actions prior to the next round. So I think, and I suspect, Steve, that some of the historical BC positions may pick up on some of that. So I think it would be useful to review that, including things like the CDAR Root Stability Report that is far from completion. But then I also wanted to underscore, I think, a point that Susan made, where also historic BC positions come into play. I think it's important to, of course, comment on the role that the subsequent procedures and RPM PDPs play in this decision and timing to move forward with the second round. But I think it's also incumbent on the BC and really the GNSO overall to also use this as an opportunity to underscore the importance of ICANN having the appropriate infrastructure and processes in place to deal with the current new GTLDs. Prior to launching the second round. And this is where the historic position of the BC on things like appropriate compliance resources and processes come into play. And I think there's other things in that vein that would be useful for the BC and really the GNSO overall to reinforce. I think the disturbing decisions, to cite another example that's not a PDP and is wholly within the staff's realm to address, I think the disturbing decisions that have recently come out of arbitration regarding the application process are also things that need to be addressed before a second round is launched. So to sum up, I think it would be useful for the BC to address non-PDP actions that need to be taken before the second round is launched, with a real focus on things that are within staff's ability to improve and roll out. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. I indicated that, Angie, the work you're doing on the GTLD Health Index, and Denise, you're helping with that as well. Let's see if any of those indicators can reveal whether ICANN is truly operationally ready for new rounds, whether at the application or evaluation or delegation phase. I only had one other item to highlight in the policy calendar, and then I'll turn it over to Susan and Phil to the extent they want to discuss the upcoming council meeting, and that is that the ICANN staff several months ago offered to hire a consultant to assist constituencies in GNSO with the research, analysis, and writing. We are a pilot project. We've decided to launch a pilot project that was suggested by Denise Michel. Thank you, Denise. And she described it in earlier correspondence as a research report on the disposition of public comments that we filed over the last 2 years to indicate the extent to which there was follow-through, acknowledgement, relevant links, give a spreadsheet that would reveal the extent to which our comments have made a difference at all. ICANN has hired an independent consultant. They had two of them teed up for us, and we selected one that several of us knew, Pam Covington. So that research is presumably underway, and I look forward to some calls. Denise, I hope you'll help us to lead that, where we talk to the consultant about the elements of that research. And as soon as we have anything in writing, of course, we'll circulate it to everyone. So that's all I had for Channel 1, and Phil and Susan, do you want to add anything more on Channel 2 for Council? Thank you.
We don't have the any, well, I guess there was one motion, Phil. There's not much going on for this next call yet. We'll know more next week. Was there anything you wanted to highlight, Phil?
No, that's it. That's a motion just filed and seconded to approve the new procedures for the chair and vice chair elections, and I believe the procedures are consistent with the policy, with the change that the BC already endorsed. So I don't see any controversy there. We don't have the full agenda for September 1, other than knowing that this issue of timing of the next round of new TLD applications will be discussed at Council. And I have one comment to make about just wrapping up on that. But Susan, let me defer to you if there's anything else on council meeting.
No, I think we're set.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say in regard to .web, many of you may be aware that since the conclusion of the auction and the revelation that VeriSign has an agreement with the winning bidder to have it seek to assign its rights to .web to VeriSign, that Donuts has revived its lawsuit against ICANN, questioning the way the auction and whether ICANN complied with its own procedures. Afilias has filed a letter with ICANN asking for an investigation, and they've also filed a complaint with the ombudsman. So it may be quite a while before .web is actually delegated, given the legal things that are going on now. And, of course, if anything would ever happen to take new.co, the winning bidder, out of the auction, that $135 million would disappear because the other applicants other than new.co all wanted a private auction where one of them would win and the others would be paid to walk away as the losers. The last thing I want to say about the next round is I don't think it's related to .web. I think it's related to the transition. There's clearly, to me, a coordinated effort, and the proponents and the most articulate one in the subsequent procedures working group has been Kurt Pritz, who we all know from the first round. He's now in the private sector. He laid out an argument the other day that it would be an embarrassment for ICANN if there was a six-year wait between rounds, and since the first round opened in 2012, it looks like the proponents of a round want to accept applications sometime next year, which is pretty soon after the transition. So I think it's more tied to the transition timing than to .web, but that's just a personal view. That's all I have. Thanks.
Bill, Susan, thank you very much. Cheryl Miller, are you on the line to talk us through about CSG?
Yes, I am, and my apologies. I'm having an internet issue, so I actually can't see you guys online. So if you have a hand up or something like that, just know that I can't see it. So the next CSG meeting has been scheduled for August 30th, and we have a few action items that we're already considering whether or not the meeting will be open or closed. As you recall, we did a joint meeting with the CPH last time, and so whether or not we do that again, whether or not we have breakfast with the board. And so if anyone has any very strong feelings about any of those, it would be great to get your input on that. It's looking as though we will be able to do a GAC CSG breakfast, and I think the timing will likely be that Sunday, November 6th, or Monday the 7th. The ISPCP leadership is going to have the lead in putting all of this together this time around for ICANN 57. And one thing that came up in the chat, Marilyn actually raised it, was to have some sort of a commemoration for Bruce Tonkin. And it would be great for anyone who has any ideas on that. A couple ideas that were floated was a plaque. I think Tony Holmes mentioned something of a plaque. Marilyn mentioned putting together some type of a book with different photos where individuals could write memories or, funny stories and things to Bruce, write little notes. And I think something similar to that was done for Marcus Coomer, and it was very well received. Greg Chatan thought we could buy Bruce Tonkin.sucks or Bruce Tonkin.rocks. I think the latter is actually cheaper. So these are just some of the ideas that are floating around. While I don't have the closest relationship with Bruce, I know many of you do. And so if you have any great ideas on this, we'd definitely love to hear them. And I'll pause there. I don't know if Marilyn's on the line and she wanted to say anything on that, or if anyone else wanted to chime in on any of those topics. Nope. Okay. So then I guess just with respect to, the different action items that we're considering, if any of you have any input or, any thoughts on whether or not the meeting should definitely be closed or open, please let me know, and I'll make sure that I adequately represent any of the thoughts that you guys have going into it. Thanks so much.
Hey, Chris, over to you.
Hey, this is Denise. Sorry, I was late in raising my hand. And just in response to Cheryl,
firstly, I would like to have a closed CSG meeting, and my preference also is to make it a more substantive discussion. I think it would be quite beneficial to a number of things that the BC is trying to accomplish to identify where we strongly align with the BC and the ISP on some of these substantive issues. I think it would be quite valuable, and a closed session would help support that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Denise. Jimson, can I turn to you real quick and maybe give just a quick update on the DNSO counselor election, and then I can go ahead and finish up from there.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. This is Jimson. I would like to first and foremost appreciate all members for their responsiveness concerning membership dues. This is over 70% are paid. We sent the second invoice out on Monday. So members that are yet to pay, they have 14 days from the date of the second invoice to remain members in good standing. And according to the charter, that is our charter, if no one pays within 30 days, you have to reapply. But overall, the responsiveness has been very good. And as I mentioned at our last meeting, we now have a U.S. bank account following the acquisition of the EIN. So we are working on the integrated online payment platform. So hopefully by FY18, members will be able to pay online through a secure environment. In that operation, and as Chris mentioned, the GNSO Council election is already on as the nomination was open on Monday. So it remains open till Friday. And as you all know, it will be followed by a one-week discussion period and a candidate call. So it could be maybe Monday or another date we will determine. But tentatively, say Monday, August 27th. Voting will commence immediately afterwards until Monday, September 5th, and the results will be announced immediately. Chantel will be conducting the election, as you already are fully aware. On the NOMCOM, I think Chris will provide up-to-date information with regard to ESCOM decision. And also, that's for the large business rep, and also for the small business rep. So we'll provide more information concerning that. Andrew Mark is on the line. We have some BC outreaches planned, along with FICTA at the summit on October 3rd, 14th in Windhoek, Namibia, and also at ICANN 57. So if you're on the call, Andy, you can also chime in here. So, Chris, that's all for me for now. What's with you?
Thank you, Jimson. So, in the last remaining 10 minutes, let me quickly turn to some of our other business. As Jimson mentioned, we do have an update on our NOMCOM reps. First, thank you all for those who volunteered to serve in that capacity. Paul Mitchell from Microsoft was the lone nominee for the large business rep, and obviously we're happy to have Paul serve in that capacity as our large business representative on the NOMCOM, and we've notified ICANN of Paul's willingness to serve. With regard to the small business reps, we have two candidates. We have Jay Sadowski and Lawrence Oluwole Roberts. Based on past BC precedent, we would be holding an election in light of the fact that we have two candidates who volunteered. XCOM is determining, hopefully very soon, the timing of that. Obviously, we'll do it very soon rather than later, but exact timing of the election will be sort of officially determined hopefully today, later today, and then we'll let everyone know when exactly that will occur. But the expectation is that we'll have a sort of a one-week election period for the BC to determine whether they want Jay or Lawrence to serve as the small business representative on the NOMCOM. And it may be that Jay and Lawrence provide the BC a short candidate statement as to why they want to serve, how they fit the criteria, et cetera. And then we can let the BC determine who they want. But we'll finalize, the XCOM will finalize those election plans, if you will, and let everyone know soon as to how we proceed there. But I just wanted to give folks an update on that, on the NOMCOM reps situation. Are there any questions about that? Just also thanks, Paul, for serving. I look forward to your representation on the NOMCOM. Moving right along, we've got Credentials Committee. We're still open to folks if they're interested in volunteering on the Credentials Committee. We do have two and a half volunteers. John Berard and Aaron Nola have volunteered to serve. I know Andrew Mack has also volunteered to serve if needed. We'll probably be closing the window on seeking volunteers here in the next week or so. But if wanted to keep it open for case people on vacation or not paying close attention. But if other folks are interested in serving on the BC's Credentials Committee, please let all know, and we will add you to the mix. But we'll hopefully finalize that in the next week or so. Let's go ahead and quickly turn to the charter and charter survey. Chantel, could you put up the results? These came in just last night for us. I just took a look at them this morning. We have the results from our survey that was sent out a few weeks ago with regard to certain outstanding issues concerning the new charter. Folks can see the results that are on Adobe can see the results now in the chat room. But for those that are just on the line only, I'll quickly just say, with regard to question one, what do you prefer as the new revenue threshold? We had not only 19 members voting, three abstained, and of the 16 that actually voted, six would like to keep the threshold at 50% as it currently is. Two voted for 40%, three voted for 30%, three voted for 25%, and two voted for 10% as proposed in the new charter. And then moving quite along to question two, what percentage of your revenue is made from registry and registrar-related services? It was determined that of the companies and members that voted, none had revenue above 30%. So there were two members that had revenue from registry and registrar-related services between 10 and 30%, four that had between 0 and 10%, and then 10 that had none. Three abstain. So, and then moving right along, regarding definition of macro and micro enterprises, this is the determination of whether or not we should keep the current definition of 10 or more employees or annual revenue of at least $500,000 versus the change of 10 or more employees and annual revenue of at least $500,000. We have a fairly even split on whether to keep the definition as is or change it. We have seven responding that it should reflect the change as proposed in the new charter, and eight members suggesting we keep it as is, and that is similar with regard to micro enterprises. We've got eight members who voted to keep it as is, seven to change it. And then lastly, should the BC generally reform or revise the concept of weighted voting? A pretty even split with those that have voted. We had eight members that said yes, seven that says no, three that abstained, and 18 total voting in that category. So that's the raw numbers we have right now. Having just received these late this evening and really taken a look at them this morning, I think the XCOM will need to digest this a little bit and determine how best to proceed with regard to these questions. But I wanted to give folks just the initial snapshot of the results, and then the XCOM will be in touch soon about how we'll proceed in light of this. Any questions on the results? Okay. SCD says a question, was the category of survey respondents recorded? I think is responding right now to that. In the meantime, why don't I go ahead and move along. We'll do the next call to occur on September 8th, 3 weeks from today, not the normal 2 weeks, but it will be 3 weeks from today, regular time. But with Thursday, September 1st, at least in the United States, being abutting against a three-day holiday, it made sense to go ahead and move the call, I think, an additional week to ensure we have critical mass attendance. So the next call will be on September 8th. That is all I have for now. Are there any other questions, concerns, thoughts from members? Okay. All right. I don't see any. So we'll just leave it at that, and we'll certainly be in touch with regard to the NomCom election, and then final path forward on the new charter. But I certainly appreciate everyone's time and attention on all these issues, and we look forward to talking to folks in the coming days. All right. Thank you all very much. Chantal, we can stop recording.
Operator, we may now stop the recording.